Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
If you want to spice up any occasion, bring the sabor with Modelo Chelada. A mouthwatering mix of authentic Mexican beer, bold fruit flavors, and a hint of spice. Bring the heat with Sandia Picante, a taste of the tropics with mango y chile, or the citrus burst of limón y sal. There's bold flavor in every can. Modelo Chelada. Bring the sabor. Drink responsibly. Modelo Chelada flavored beers. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half, we play made-up movie, and I know I always say this, but I think it's one of our best. One of our best efforts, so I think you're going to enjoy that. We'll do that with my producing partner, Nate Adams.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from HGS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. A new year of Adam's Monthly Nut hath begun. We kick off 2021 with a bang, with products like a bottle of Promescent Delay Spray to keep you going all year long, a collapsible water bowl to cure feminine canine hydration syndrome anywhere it strikes, a secret Santa gift, because let's be honest, we got Corolla gifts galore at the warehouse, and a digital download of the first three glorious years of the Ace Awards. The year of the devil is behind us. Get ready for an all-new year of Adam's Monthly Nut. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, 2022 candidate for California Governor, Major Williams. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a spirited round of made-up movie. And now, never vegan, and definitely not cruelty-free, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on a mandate. You get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing. Saw the ratings go up last week, so thank you for that. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian?
Check out this crispy motherfucker.
I had a... It's kind of interesting the way the brain works. I walked in here today earlier to do a bunch of podcasts with Dr. Drew, and I just walked in the door, and Drew was reclining on the couch. He had his feet
up.
Wait,
he was in?
Yeah, he was laying back. And for a millisecond, my brain went, what's Drew doing laying down? Drew never lays down. And then about a tenth of a second later, my brain went, oh, he's just had COVID-19, right, and fixed it. But
did you go patting on his ass, telling him there's real soldiers out here?
I should have went general patting on his ass. But, you know, I was thinking about it, and I was just thinking about it. It's interesting how the brain works, or at least how my brain works. I'm constantly trying to make sense of everything. If I ever see something that seems out of place or inconsistent with a person's patterns, my brain always sends me an alert, like an immediate alert. Right. Never seen Drew laying down. And then I got this second alert from my brain that said, here's the context. He's got the COVID. But then I thought, you know, I was saying to Drew, it was an interesting little moment. And then I said, you know, we're kind of living in a time where you see someone laying down. And you go, because Drew's so lazy. And then someone goes, oh, no, it's because he's getting over COVID. And then you go back to because he's so lazy. That's kind of
you got to fit it in.
I just think that that's where we're at now as a society. People are not processing information.
But still has never been more appropriate, especially on like Twitter. You get into it with someone, you're like, well, actually, the reason is this. Like, yeah, but still.
Yeah, but still.
that's such a childlike way of looking at stuff, too, because it's so funny when you said Drew is lazy. Because when I was 4 or 5 years old, my aunt, who was, you know, young at the time, had a roommate who worked at night and who would sleep, you know, during the day and work at night. And her name was Thea. And I called her Lazy Thea. And
right.
That's still what we call her. And I'm well into my adult years. So if that's what a child does, why are the rest of us doing it?
But Gina, she's still working.
You did tell me off the air that was mainly because she was black. Yeah. I think it's important that we share that with the audience. Oh, yeah. If you have a roommate who works a night shift, that's not good. That means nope. Something has gone a little bit wrong in your world, you know, as an adult.
If you're not in your 20s and you're bartending. Like right.
I thought you meant it was not good for you, but it is good, right? If your roommate works the night shift, isn't that good?
Well, yeah.
I mean, for you, not for them, of course.
It's not good for... You, it could be good for you. I mean, it show if you're an adult and you have a roommate and that roommate works graveyard, things probably haven't worked out as well as you would have liked them to. But from a scheduling standpoint, yes. But I will say, I mean, it is good because they leave at 8 at night and you got the whole place to yourself.
Yeah.
But I will say this, all those who work the crazy shifts, that's fine. That's a decision. It's a life choice. But you relinquish your right to get up and be pissed off at people who are doing normal daytime activities. So you're not allowed to start screaming at the neighbor who is got the weed whacker out at 9:45 because the sun is shining and that person is on a normal schedule. Yes.
Do you want to build a nap room? And don't you get upset about the backup beepers?
I go nuts over the backup beepers, but I don't blame the guy driving the truck. I just hate the backup beeper. But
conceptually,
I have also had the luck of the draw of it was born from my first house in the in Lake Hollywood. No, my first house in Hollywood Land underneath the Hollywood sign. And it was up in the canyon and my bedroom just had the single pane windows and it was upstairs and it just faced the canyon. And if there was a garbage truck on the other side of the canyon, barely visible by the eye, you could hear that ringing like a bell. It just came through. I don't know what with the canyon. And it was also that the garbage man came at 6:30 in the morning on Fridays, and Friday was the only day. Friday was my biggest work day because we would either gang tape The Man Show or Loveline on MTV. And I would, of course, work Sunday through Thursday and would go to bed late on Thursday night, coming home, you know, after midnight after doing Loveline. And it was my big day of filming TV shows. And all I wanted to do was sleep. And the goddamn garbage man would roll through there at 6:30. He'd be backing down the street. He'd be heading up the street. Small, narrow, windy street. So a car would come down and then he'd meep, 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 like pulling out of the way. And then the garbage man would come, and then 10 minutes later, the recycling guy. Right. I am telling you.
Then the leaf guy, then the green bin guy.
Yeah. So I don't even know if they had a green bin back then. But I will say this. If you're looking at buying a home, and I've had a few of these, and you get shitty cell phone reception in your house, and or the garbage man comes in the wee hours of the morning, I'm telling you, don't consider not purchasing that home. I mean,
whether you're renting or buying, you should go like in off hours and see what the parking's like, see what's on the trash man comes,
and go find out if Waze is offering any alternative routes that go right by your goddamn house. Don't look at it on a Saturday with the realtor. Go there on Monday morning and see what the traffic's like. All right, so tips for homeowners. Let's see. I don't know why, but let's see. Major Williams is coming in. He's a man who's going to be running for California governor. Talk to him. But I think I called him Major Adams when I was talking to Max Pat about it. And then also Nate is coming in, who we run Chassis with. But Nate's last name is Adams. So now we do have an Adams. And then I realized, why did I say Major Adams? And then I thought, well, I said Major Adams because Nate Adams is coming up and Major Williams is coming in. But the real reason I said Major Adams is because he was the head guy in a show called Wagon Train that I used to watch when I'd stay home from school. You ever see Wagon Train?
Was that in Bonanza Ponderosa?
Yeah, it was probably even before then. It may have been, I think it was black and white. It'd be one of those old-timey, stupid shows that you had to watch just because it was on and they'd run it during the day. Wagon Train. And 57 to 65, decent run. Major Adams was the main guy who was in charge of the Wagon Train. I mean, it was the same episode every year. Yeah, they just taken the covered wagons across the West. Super boring shit for me when I was nine, but I had to watch it. Played by Ward Bond, then John McIntyre. But there's also character, the Scout. The Scout was named Flint McCullough. And I thought, ooh, good. Flint McCullough versus Adam Carolla. Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, my fortunes would change if my name was only Flint. Flint Carolla?
Think of the possibilities.
Oh, my God. It'd be on top
Flint
of the world.
Flint or Dutch?
Yeah. Colt.
Yeah. So do you have the beginning of Wagon Train? I'm going to have a little flashback. God bless the internet. Oh, it was color. Wagon Train. With John McIntyre.
I love that font.
Yes, Old West font.
Yes. Oh.
Robert Fuller. It's going to be a later one. Frank, whatever. It's like there's always the old time cookie, the guy's the cook.
According to Wikipedia, it was mostly in black and white, and then for the final season, I guess it was.
Ah.
They gave everyone
help promote color TVs.
Ah, they must have clipped Flint McCullough. They're always in, they're always in Indian country. You know what I mean? They always were going through Indian country. And there was,
you mean America?
Yes, America. It was all Indian country.
Native America.
So they had to look out. Trying to think. So anyway, we'll talk to those guys about, what's going on in life. Dawson.
I think what you see the major and Nate Adams side by side or back to back, you won't confuse them anymore.
No. Yeah, probably.
Very different.
They look very different. Yeah.
Very different.
Is there a season one intro? Is there any voiceover or anything? Is it all just that? And I never had this thought, but, and you guys tell me if this is just a gaping hole in my stupid brain. The chef, the cook, on all those old-timey Western things, the guy's name was always Cookie. You know what I mean?
Cooker,
and it's like, and go, Cookie, get over here, Cookie. And all I ever thought of until 4 minutes ago was Cookie, like how does the cookie
like a
crumble?
Yeah.
But he was the cook.
Yeah.
Did they call him Cookie
it's
because
like,
he was the cook?
Like Skippy. No, yeah, Cookie because he was the cook.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Wait.
You're absolutely right.
He's right as of 5 seconds ago?
No, yes, I'm the only person that didn't know this, or Gina, you're dumb too.
I'm dumb too because I have a lot of nicknames in my family. Nobody calls me Gina, but one of my names was Cookie. And because my dad is big on B Westerns, Three Musketeers, and Gina, I've seen them all a million times. And when they would have a cookie, I thought, oh, their aunt and their grandma loves him too because they call him Cookie. So until this moment, it never occurred to me that he was the cook.
This
is madness.
Nope.
I know. Well, see, this is the insanity of it. Probably the first time you heard it, you did the connection of cooking and cookie. I just thought it was a nickname for an old timer and I had no idea. And my grandfather called me Cookie.
Yeah. Laszlo, it's a term of endearment.
Laszlo Gorok. So I was called Cookie. So I had kind of he didn't provide many cookies, ironically, but he called me Cookie.
Yeah, I was Cookie too.
I was thinking about him the other day going to the supermarket and buying generic beer. Generic
just
beer.
Said beer.
Just beer.
Yeah, it literally just said beer. Like, first off, old man, do you like beer or don't you like beer? Because I'm confused. Number one, his thing probably would have been, tasted almost as good as good beer would taste. Also, my feeling is on things like that, go ahead and spend the extra 48 cents and get yourself a Lone Brow.
From the part of the world that makes good beer.
Or is he part of the world like Eastern Bloc territory where you just get beer? So he's used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will tell you that Gina sent me over a menu for a Hungarian restaurant that her friend is doing. I recently had goulash and chicken paprikash. Goddamn awesome. I will also tell you that as I was looking down the menu of what you sent me over, Gina, I saw a casserole, a sauerkraut casserole with sausage cut up into it, which is one of my grandfather's creations that I never speak of. But he did sauerkraut with kielbasa, you know, cut in silver dollar sizes all through it, and then you layer it. I think you would do a layer of like sour cream or potato or something, and then sauerkraut, and then the kielbasa. Goddamn hearty! I'm telling you, people, everybody. I have this experience a lot. People have never tried goulash in their life. They never tried chicken paprikash. It all sounds weird. It's like, how come? What do we need that for? We have stew. What do we need goulash for? Everybody who eats it, 100% convert. They all fucking love it. No one's ever had it.
It's damn delicious. The problem is that, outside of making it in your own home, I suppose, what menu are you going to find it on?
Gina's
friend. You gotta seek it out.
Yeah, that's why you gotta find a pop-up. And she literally, it's called Eden's Hungarian. She spent all this time in Hungary. She loves this culture. She loves this food. So it's gonna be authentic.
Yeah, well, I'll give it a plug. So I haven't tried it yet, but I wanna try the kraut. And don't sleep on the sauerkraut, everyone. Mm-mm. Not nearly enough of that in your diet. All right. Dawson has an article that somebody tweeted me a couple of days ago, which I'd like to get into. And then I have some thoughts. Go ahead, Dawson.
New study finds COVID transmission in schools is, quote, extremely rare. A new peer-reviewed study from American Academy of Pediatrics found that in-school transmission of COVID-19 is extremely rare. Collaborative study between Duke University and the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, discovered that among 11 school districts with nearly 100,000 staff and students, there were no instances of children passing the coronavirus to adults during in-person instruction. Researchers found just 32 cases of either kid-to-kid or adult-to-adult coronavirus transmission over 9 weeks. The study also slammed school policies that ask individuals to self-quarantine if they come within 6 feet of a person infected with coronavirus for more than 15 minutes, even if both individuals wore masks. The study calls the policy, quote, counterproductive, as transmission of the coronavirus when properly wearing masks is, quote, uncommon in school settings. Researchers also said the policy sends a mixed message to the public on the benefit of face coverings. The study concluded that, quote, schools can stay open safely in communities with widespread community transmission. This conclusion contradicts claims by teachers' unions that vaccines won't be enough to return to in-person learning.
Well, nothing's enough as long as you're fucking getting paid, right? As long as you're getting paid to work with your fucking slippers and house coat on, then nothing will be enough. Yes.
The costs of remote learning, meanwhile, have been high. A study of 4.4 million students found that minority and low-income children are disproportionately harmed by school closures.
That's true.
Other studies have likely indicated that schools are not driving COVID-19 infections. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said during an ABC interview that the default position should be, quote, to keep the children in school or to get them back to school.
So here's the question. Our schools have been closed down for a million years. Why? But the bigger question I have throughout this whole thing is, why the fuck are we putting up with this? I mean, these are parents sitting at home watching their kids rot. We all know it's the low income, at risk kids, the kids that are already having the hardest time with this, that are suffering disproportionately. Why is there more outcry about it? How come no one fucking says anything?
Do we care or don't we?
Why aren't we pushing back? This is nuts. It's
because anecdotally, everyone we know of or speak to is miserable. You know what I mean? With the kids not going to school and at home or falling behind or whatever. It's no one we know is happy about this.
And
anecdotally, but you know, it's a lot of people we talk to.
There is no science to back this up, and then there's data that says it's dangerous to the kids to stay home for other effects outside of COVID, which we don't seem to weigh in. So what the fuck? And what are we doing? And how come more people aren't pushing back? That's my bigger question. I get Gavin Newsom's a fuck up. I get Garcetti's a fuck up. I get Barbara Ferrer's a fuck up. My question is where are the people? Where are the voices? And the answer is they're fucking scared because everyone's scared if they pipe up or push back or say anything, they're going to get taken out to the town square and flogged. But that's the saddest realization, this whole thing. And I'm also going to dovetail this into one of my earlier thoughts, which is when this thing began, and I was talking to Dr. Drew about how big a shit show LA is with distributing the vaccine, and how it really it needs to go to people over 65. Those are the people that are dying. Under 65, people aren't dying. Over 65. Those are the people that are really getting hit hard and dying from this thing. So if you would like to take the vaccine and, you know, you have a large population, you have a limited number of vaccine, well, then you just give it to the population that's going to die first, and then we'll give it to everyone else next. But remember, and this will tie in and dovetail with the school thing as well, there was always a concerted war, I felt, it from the get-go, over ages. We're not giving out the ages that are of the people that are being affected. We did not get that information. It was very slow to come out. And when it did, it was never touched upon. Like, no one ever really drilled down on it. And thus, kids can't go back to school. And we have to give the vaccine out to this group and first responders. And there's a whole racial component to the vaccine, too, because we did get the message early and often that this was disproportionately affecting communities of color. So if you're going to get hit over the fucking head about disproportionately affecting communities of color and not hear anything about age, then when the vaccine comes out, who are you going to give it to? The age is also, if we'd gotten the fucking message early and often with the age, then when it came to decide if schools could stay open, we'd go, well, it doesn't hurt kids. Of course schools could stay open, but we never got the age. And thus we just got, here's how many Americans died. And thus it affected policy. And I do think there was a concerted effort, not a conspiracy plan, just things sound that much more dangerous when you say, here's how many people died versus here's how many 91-year-olds died. Yes, Brian.
You and I are on the same page because as you were saying all that, I was thinking to myself, literally just about to bring it up, like, I wonder if there will come out someday that there was a concerted effort amongst the people whose job it was to get the information out, you know, don't emphasize it affects this group more than that group. You know, much like with the AIDS crisis when, you know, there was the effort was made to explain that it was an equal opportunity virus and a killer and blah, blah, when in fact it did. It was much harder to catch for certain groups than it was for others. And that eventually came out. But the talking points were, let's get everyone on the same page and make sure everyone feels the same risk.
I agree with that, except for they didn't do this group or that group. They did do this group or that group, I should say.
So
they did.
Wasn't it called like GAIDS?
No. It was GRIDS.
GRIDS.
Right. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. What I'm saying is in the current COVID crisis, yes. Right. What they did is they said heterosexual couple is just as endangered as a young single gay man who frequents bars. That was their attempt. It was basically, it's what doctors do when they go, do you smoke? And you go, I smoke one cigarette a night. And they go, that's one too many. Right. That's just as bad as smoking a pack or two. You know, they do that because what they're saying is I don't want you to engage in this behavior.
Telling pregnant women not to have a glass of wine when, in fact, it is totally fine.
Right, because they think you're going to drink a bottle of wine versus a glass of wine. So they tell you no amount is safe, which, of course, whenever you hear no amount is safe, it never really makes sense, because we all know you could have a glass of wine and be and operate a motor vehicle, or you could die of alcohol poisoning if you drank a gallon of Everclear. So I think the amount does.
There's the amount that matters.
And does by factor the way, in. The baby boomers who are doctors telling you this, ask their moms what they imbibed in while they were pregnant with the two martini lunches and the cigarettes.
Oh, a lot of highballs. All right. So I believe when I was screaming about earlier on, very early in this pandemic, about where are the ages? How come we're not getting ages? And people would say, well, HEPA laws. I'd go, say an 89-year-old Narlita died. What's the HEPA law there? And I was getting a lot of fucking cross-jabber on it. I now agree with me. Oh, HIPAA law. Sorry, HEPA filter and HIPAA law. So, yeah, we got to get the HEPA filter in the airplane, but the HIPAA law on the ground. I think it's done us a wild disservice. I think if people had the ages and had the context and just how much more deadly it was past the age of 65, and then how much more steadily dangerous it got as you passed 75, and how lethal it was when we got to 85. If we had had that information, then we could have shaped policies like outdoor dining, which is insane that it's still not open, and or especially schools, because schools are a bunch of kids by nature, and the average age of the school teacher in the ninth grade is 38 and 7 months. Everybody out of the fucking danger zone.
Would have changed daycare and preschool. Would have changed our lives. That our test was closed for whatever it was, 5-6 months, just out of caution.
All right. So
he still did a physical education next to the bar this morning.
School and outdoor dining still shut down in Los Angeles, but I'm heading to Florida, baby. And I got
never coming back.
I got to tell you, that is one of the perks of travel, as big a pain in the ass as it used to be. Going out to dinner, man. Already got reservations for late dinner on Saturday night. Looking forward to hanging out. Even just going to the airport and being able to sit in a bar in an airport feels like you're getting away with something out here, especially. we have to meet. We got a 6 a.m. flight.
6 a.m. departure, yes.
6 a.m. departure.
Yeah.
Departure.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
I think it's a 5:30 boarding.
So. 5:30 boarding. Ew. Everyone's going to be in a great mood.
Yeah.
Mike, the good news about Mike August is there's no difference between 5:30 in the evening and 5:30 in the morning. You will see the exact same Mike. Never seen the man yawn. Never
true.
Seen him go for a cup of coffee.
No.
He's always in a really natty outfit holding a duffel bag ready to go. Yeah.
Yes, he'll be there. He'll be waiting.
He'll have plaid shorts.
He'll have plaid shorts on. He'll be ready to roll. Also, so that means we got to get to the airport about 5 a.m. and we got a layover. So we got about a 7.5 hour journey to Naples. So we got that.
Are you going out of Burbank or LAX?
LAX, because it's less convenient. So I was like,
the only advantage of driving to LAX for you is to get that direct flight.
That's right. That's why I asked.
Naples is a tough putt, but I got myself a first class ticket, which I never do. But I figured, 7.5 hours of travel. Stretch out in a 737 on the bulkhead, getting yelled at to put my backpack up top. And
you ask Chris if he wants to sit next to you. He's like, I'm good.
snacks. I don't know if they have drinks. I think they have drinks in first class.
Yeah, I'm the one sitting next to August who brings all the snacks.
So, that's right.
Kind of screwed there.
Yeah, Mike forces you to get fat on a plane because he brings a giant tub of mixed nuts. He also does this move that can bother me. He'll go, I'll go, where'd you get that jerky, Mike? And he'll go, 99-cent store. And I'll go, is jerky supposed to be clear? Because I can see through it, Mike. And he's like, it's just jerky. Yeah, like, I just love that. It's jerky, man. So he'll bring that. What are his other? Now he brings a whole deli platter.
Oh, he brings cheese. like slices of cheese and salami.
And what happens is.
Does he bring a cranger rail?
Yeah, he'll make the poor put upon stewardess, make him a Cranger Ale, which is they always love it when you get into the experimentation with the drinks. Yes, he has to have a suicide made for him.
The mixologist
right there in the cart. Yeah, then he'll do this. The first thing he'll say when she brings the cart around is, "Do you have cranberry?" And then she'll go, "We only have cran apple." I don't know what happened to cranberry juice, but it got replaced with cran apple at some point, and it is gone. I like cranberry juice, but you shall not find cranberry juice. So then she will offer him the cran apple. Then he will explain, now he wants the orange juice mixed with the cran apple, which last I counted was three goddamn fruits. Three fruits in a cup. Then Mike will drink that, make some kind of joke about it, and at some point he'll bust into the nuts and the cheese and the jerky, and then you will sit next to him, and you'll announce, "That shit's gross. I want no part of it." And then 18 minutes later, you'll be devouring all of it because there's nothing else to do on that leg of the flight. So be prepared to pack on the pounds. I guess there's might be a couple of tickets left for Off the Hook tonight and Saturday night, but not many, maybe just for the early show. All right. Major Nate Adams is the guy we make all the movies with over at Chassis up the street. So he's going to come by. I think we'll do some made up movie.
Yeah.
With him as well. All right. Gina, you were walking around. You saw an interesting dog sign.
I did, and it made me think of Philly Cheesesteak, because you said he had a little issue not too long ago and had to go to the doctor, right? Last month, maybe?
He is getting up on the counter and eating everything that's on the counter. And he ate a whole bag of lozenges the other day.
minty
fresh breath. He's been eating every treat, every cookie, everything that's on the counter. He gets to and devours. But he did eat something.
See's candy, a victim of his.
He did a whole box of See's candy and went through the side of the box, chewed through the side of the box. I know.
That's how good it is.
But you were walking around and saw what?
I walked around and I saw something. I thought, well, maybe the call isn't coming from inside the house at the Corolla house. Maybe it's everybody else. Here's a sign that was hanging up in good old Studio City. It says, "Dear neighbors, we love that you love our dogs, but need to ask that you stop giving them treats. This week, both have had allergic reactions to something they ate, requiring one to be hospitalized. Until we can identify the source, we need full control of their diet. Thank you." And then a treat symbol with a slash through it. No treats. Sad.
How much treat distribution is there going on? Like, have you guys ever fed a strange dog a treat? I don't feel like I ever have.
No, literally, no, never once.
No. But this is, I mean, I don't know. You know this neighborhood, but the high end across the street, you know, high end on the other side of Magnolia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very communal and very kind of like upper middle class, like everybody knows each other. So maybe somebody's getting in there with the treats, but I've never done it. I've never seen it.
I feel like this is a clear case of externalization. Like, I feel like this dog ate something in the house, like the owner got drunk, fell asleep, was, eating.
Fed him chocolate-covered coffee beans.
Eating some coffee beans. Yeah, fell asleep. The dog ate it. Now you're blaming the community. I don't know. And then also, I feel like treats are vetted with dogs. You know what I mean? It's not like the person's traveling. It's not like people are walking around with a plate of nacho chips or something.
That's
like,
what I was
thinking. Do you want some dog? It's like some dried, grainy something that they got at the PetSmart place or PetMart. Like, how could the dog have a reaction?
Well, that, and I'm going to add to that point. Can you put the picture back up, Kaylin? Look at the position of the sign when we see it. It is covered. Okay, that is eye level to me. That is a high fence covered in, you know, flora. So I'm not exactly sure how the dogs are getting the treats.
Yeah, I'm just
going to know for a fact that someone's giving the dog treats. Like I said, this could be something they got into in the house.
Who's to say?
It would appear to me. All right. Well, anyway, based on this, I don't think I could hang with this person.
With that guy.
We got
just the sign.
Just the sign. All right. So Nate's going to come in. We'll talk about some projects we're doing, give you guys an update. But we have some titles already for Made Up Movie. So we'll bring Nate in. We'll play a round of Made Up Movie right after this.
And now, another honorable mention from the cutting room floor for the 2020 ACE Awards. For Best Impression, Gina Grad as Jennifer Tilly.
Well, hello there, sir. I have your very, very odd order. Is this something that you always order, or is this just something you wanted, a little message you're sending to me?
I would say I have two basted eggs, pumpernickel dry, and black coffee. I hope that's what's on your tray.
I have two pumpernickels basted.
Yeah, it's not I'm looking at the script. It's not pumpernickels basted. It's two eggs basted, dry pumpernickel, and black coffee. Let's try it again.
Okay.
Just give me the menu item, please.
Here you go, sir. Here are your two eggs, your pumpernickel, and your basted black coffee.
Yeah. It's two eggs basted, dry pumpernickel, and black coffee. Let's just try and get a clean one of those.
Well, sorry, it's much easier to go when you say action.
And action.
Hello, sir. I have your order right here. Two eggs, a pumpernickel, and a turkey baster.
All right, I think we can clean that up in post.
You think you got what you needed?
We can dig that one out. Yeah.
The 2021 ACE Awards are coming in 11 months. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
That band shouldn't have been playing the second stage at the Weenie Rose. Mm. That band should have been right in between U2 and Kiss on the main stage. That should have made the cut for the ACE Awards. Gina Grad, that was awesome.
Thank you.
Major Nate Adams here is, I'm now going to call you Major.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I know everyone's a huge Wagon Train fan, at least everyone under 40, I know.
Hey, you know what?
They're going to get the reference.
Being from Montana and super poor, one of my only childhood vacations, we actually went on wagon trains.
So you know.
No BS. Covered wagons across the plains of Montana.
That sounds awesome.
It was horrible.
It'd be awesome if you could do it with somebody other than your family. I think that's the problem with vacations. They're inherently screwed because they're with your family. You know?
There were tons of families. One of the families we went with were the Trottiers, who Brian Trottier was a super famous hockey player for the Islanders. Mm-hmm. And his family's from Canada. His dad's name is Buzz. His brother's named Monty and Rocky. And so we would go with them. But this is... I can't even describe these experiences, but as a child, like super young, this is the first time like I ever saw like.
Hey, Nate, let me just jump in. Because you used their last name, if this is the rape story you told me over lunch at Kookaroo 2 days ago, probably don't get into that.
No, I'm going to stray away from this one.
Because you brought their last names up.
Yep. No, those guys were good guys. But they used to bring hockey sticks and hit cans off a fence. I never saw people do that, but. As a kid, this is the first – because you're all in like tents in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I like ever heard – you know, there was like one redneck cowboy dude who like kept hooking up with different women. But mm-hmm. I never heard anything like that as a kid. This is the first time I ever – because I was out in the open and I could hear them sort of getting, you know, busy.
And
I was super confused.
We need one of these. This should be a segment, Max Pata, because my dad's – second apartment after we moved from the little bungalow on Laurel Canyon, and we moved to the back of the crappy apartment unit. It's not there anymore, but we're staying in that place in these little shitty row apartments with this paper thin walls, and we shared a hall wall was just shared it with the other unit. It's a big long hall. I was laying in bed when I was 10. This chick was getting pounded all fucking night. Like, I think it terrorized me. And it's probably why I can't bring women pleasure now. Because of the blood-curdling scream. All night, she was just like, oh, God. Oh, God. I was just like, all night. I got up the next morning. I was like, this woman next to us is dying.
Yeah, that's. I thought. I thought this guy was hurting. I thought someone was getting hurt.
Yeah.
I was like, what is
she's been run through.
Yeah, but I mean, she was just howling all night, yelling, "Oh my god! Oh my god!" You know, and I was like, "She's got the stomach flu. She's got something." But it was also a funny thing because when I looked at my dad, I was like, the woman in the unit over here is dying and we have to call the paramedics. And he just, in the moment he looked at me, like he just looked at me like, oh, fuck. Like, what? What do I say?
Quick, someone requires assistance.
That's what. But the second he looked at me, I was like, oh, shit. This is something else. Like, I was old enough to just barely do the math on the plowing that that lady got next to me. Yeah, so you heard sex through a tent.
Yep, and it scarred me as what happened to you. I was probably six, though, maybe somewhere in that.
Was this guy, was this seven. Major Adams or Flint McCullough, the scout?
Yeah, he was Flint McCullough.
He was the scout.
You know, he was.
Was he having sex with patrons? Well, people that paid money to go on the wagon train?
Oh, no. This is like I don't even know how to describe this. It's not like a paid thing. It's like these people got together in the summers and went on wagon trains.
Whose wagon train was it? I mean, someone had to buy a wagon train.
Everyone has their own wagons. It's like ice houses. Everybody's got their own covered wagon and ride horses. And
in Montana, everyone has their own wagon.
Well, just these particular band of idiots. But and then at the end of it, we would go into a town and it would be like the 4th of July parade and all the wagons would ride through with the parade.
That sounds cool.
That sounds so quaint.
The other thing that happened is I learned how to catch gophers with a noose. So you put a noose in the hole and I caught them all. And I don't remember if it was Flint the dick, but one of those cowboys let all my gophers go. I was so mad.
You caught them.
What are you going to do with the
gophers? You could catch them with a noose.
Yeah, gophers are extremely curious. They always pop their heads back up out of their hole. So you make a noose and then you got a rope that's 10 feet long and you go stand back and then you wait. They put their head up and you hook them like you would a fish, sort of, and then I put them in a corral. I caught them.
You know what's nice about working with Nate? Nate's from Montana, and I'm from North Hollywood, but when I talked to him about his Montana stories, which were 1,000% different than how I was raised in North Hollywood, you know, for me, it was just like asphalt everywhere, and 7-Eleven was on the corner, and that there was no culture, there was no nature, there was no anything. It's almost like talking to somebody from a different time. It's like talking to 1840s guy.
Yeah.
So he starts telling me about his tales of hunting and ice fishing and gopher noosing and all this kind of stuff. I'm just like, it's like somebody from the past has been brought to the future, to the present, to tell me the tales of the way life used to be on a wagon train with gophers.
But we have the similarity of like we were super, super poor. So that was like all we could do. That was like our vacation was camping.
Did
like
you
literally
what now? Who cooked up the food? Oh, here's a question. Cookie, who's always the old timer cook on the wagon train shows.
Yep.
Did you ever draw the correlation between him being named Cookie and him being the cook?
No.
Yeah,
what?
Me neither.
That seems
you.
Brian's the only one
now
so
that you
far.
Explained it to me. It seems perfectly logical, but I did not
Wait
ever make the connection.
This is insanity.
I never made the connection. I just thought it was his nickname.
In the nickname.
But Cookie is more something you're familiar with than a cook named Cookie. You know what a cookie is more than you know what cook.
We no longer have to defend ourselves. It's 3-1.
I know. Really?
What am I doing?
I'm the minority here.
Wasting my breath.
Get a poll out, Max Pata.
Don't do it. I can't live with the results.
Or you know what? Just go to USA Today. There's probably one already on there.
The infographic.
Yeah, the infographic, the pie chart. All right. So, Nate, usually you should be going ice fishing about now.
Oh, yeah. My brother just sent me some pictures. He got on the ice, but it's very thin right now because there's a lot of the weather's not super cold in Montana, but he did put his ice house out.
That didn't prevent him from going out in the middle of the lake?
Which makes me very nervous because he's not, he's a rotund guy.
Oh, big guy on a lake.
Yeah.
And with thin ice.
Thin ice and probably drove his – I don't think he drove his truck on it, but yeah, he sent me a picture.
Did he catch what? What is that sturgeon? What's the crazy fish you guys go after there?
Pike and walleye. But he
the pike and the harpooning of the pikes. Yeah, like you guys aren't dropping a line in the water. You're fucking harpooning these things, right?
Yeah, we stick them with. It looks like a pitchfork with barbs. My brother actually welds them.
Yeah, he does.
And then and we do put lines in. Also, we put those tip ups in, but. We sit in the ice house to spear. That's the most fun, is when you actually get to stick one.
Yeah, and they're big and scary and like dinosaur fish, right?
Yeah.
Oh, there's your brother. There's my God.
That's mine.
That's yours. The fucking pike. They're scary, crazy looking, and they're huge.
And if they bite you, they have anticoagulants in their mouth. Like, I tried to take a hook out of one of their mouth once, and it bit my thumb. Bled for like 4 hours.
They have the crazy razor teeth, and they're huge, and they're I think the reason you can stick them is because they're such aggressive fish that if you just put something shiny down there, they'll go after it.
Yeah, you put a decoy down there and they swim in and just bite it, and then they come back to eat it real slow. Mm-hmm. And you put your spear right over the top of their back up here, and then bam, you nail them.
Is pike good eating?
You know, it's not as good as walleye. But, yeah, my brother, we eat them all. He beer batters them. I'll show you.
You know the guys I like? I like the guys who fish and hunt, and then when you say to them, you hunted and ate rattlesnake, and they go, yep. And they go, is it good? Not really. I'm like, well, okay. Wow, that's a commitment.
It's available.
It's available. It was alive. It's alive and free, so yeah, didn't have to taste that good. Yeah, got a bunch of pictures of giant pike with your brother.
Have this big, like, walleye. Rectangular mouth.
It's a walleye. You know, the thing about Nate, I don't see... Nate, you're sober, right?
Yeah.
So doesn't that... Aren't you legally precluded from ice fishing? Like,
you know, that is a big part of ice fishing.
Don't they have you blow breathalyzer before you go out there? If you don't blow over a .08, you can't get out there?
Yeah. If you're not drinking whiskey straight from the bottle, they don't let you on the ice.
Sober ice fishing with Nate.
Exactly. and brother. Exactly. It's pretty brutal.
The dictionary says cookie, with a Y, a cook at ranch or camp. So...
Now we know.
Dawson, you're going to say you knew it.
I figured it out about 3 years ago, so I did not know it. Fairly late in life. And then when I said, oh, that makes perfect sense. But no, I thought it was just a term of endearment.
Max Pata?
Hey, everyone listening, there's no shame in knowing that cookie is from...
never heard of cookie before. Today.
What?
I knew, because he's from a fucked up culture where they don't have good stuff. So he wouldn't even know that cookie was the name.
We didn't even... Cooking food, that's not even part of our culture either.
Yeah, you eat everything raw.
Yeah.
So what would you eat on the wagon train, Nate?
Just bad stuff off of fire. Everything was fire cooked. So
were you guys hunting along the way?
No.
Bring cans of beans and stuff?
Yep, beans and, so long I barely remember. I just remember eating everything off the fire.
What is what's going on with the chassis? By the way, congratulations on Mashable and the Formula One recommendation of Uppity.
Yeah, so, that's good. Some good stuff. So right now we are doing a final crowd raise where you can invest in the two docs we're just finishing, one on Mad Magazine and one on memes that we're doing with Cedric the Entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a final raise for post-production.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool because when we first started these, we're about to finish them both. We're at rough cut with both of them, and we ended up getting, a bunch more celebs in both of the docs, and they're pretty much done. And the good thing about this is the kind of investment where you can get money back. It's not like crowdfunding where you get a T-shirt or something. There are perks you can get. You can get your name in the credits. You can get an executive producer credit depending on your investment, but it's all set up so that you get money back as we get money back.
Oh, okay.
So the good thing about it is like the COVID situation that has killed production in Los Angeles, that we're going to finish these two things in the next, 3 months. They'll be available when there's really just not a lot of content to sell right now. So it's going to help.
So go to invest.microventures.com and invest in either one of these movies and some perks, digital downloads and tickets to premieres and producer credits and dinner with me and Cedric the Entertainer.
That is on there.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a pretty fabulous dinner.
Yep. And for the simple URL is microventures.com/Adam.
All right. And what's the update? Any K-Rock doc updates?
Boy, we have a lot of people who are trying to sort of help us get that over the finish line. We're still holding out hope that we can do four episodes instead of one, you know, instead mm-hmm. of a one-off doc. We just interviewed Chris Martin, you know,
Coldplay,
that.
Yeah. Right.
And, I mean, we already had Bono and Tom Morello and Blink and Beck and Green yeah. Day and all those great people in there. I think, you know, we're going to retake it out again and I don't know how he didn't sell it the first time. So,
well, I blame you, but
I agree.
It's a weird thing, and it's kind of how Hollywood is. You know, every time I talk to someone, they go, "Oh, what are you working on?" And I'd go, "I'm working on a Paul Newman racing doc," and they go, "Okay," and I go, "I'm working on a 24-hour war," and they go, "Huh." And I'd go, "I'm working on Shelby. I don't know who that is." And then I go, "I'm working on a K-Rock doc." Everyone would go, "Oh, that's an awesome idea for a doc. Oh, they got to make that doc." And I was like, "Yeah." And that's the one that's hardest to get made.
It's so bizarre.
It's bizarre. All right. So we're going to play some made-up movie. Do we have an intro here?
In a world where titles are many and plots are few, one man can take your movie names and make them come to life.
What is going on?
Adam Carolla stars in Made Up Movie.
Gina?
Yeah, one jumps out at me. Busted Dreams.
Oh, Gina, you remember the rule. The caller's supposed to
say
the
sorry,
name.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot.
Yeah,
I
you
forgot.
Just fucking busted my dream.
Sorry. Do you want to talk to him or no?
Yeah, we'll just go down. Hey, caller, what's the name of your title? Shh, quiet, Gina. We want to hear.
It was based on Gina, so I'll let her get away with it this time. But it's Busted Mother. Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could, if you'd give me a minute just to heap some praise, Bald Brian, I'm glad you're doing well. Patreon for Film Ball. And I'm awesome. Glad everything's going good with Christy and the kids. Gina, you're a breath of fresh air on the show. It's the first time I've called in a few years, but I'm glad to have you on. And, Adam, you've really made a big impact on my life, and I think that I'm a stepfather because of you and with patience and keeping families together. So,
well, thanks, Brian.
Anytime.
All right, yeah. Name your movie. Did he get
all that kind of good stuff, but
all right. He did say it was named after me.
So go ahead.
It could be an autobiography, but have you guys, are you familiar with the movie Kinky Boots, the musical Kinky Boots?
Yes.
Yeah. Familiar. Yeah. Heard of it.
I feel like this is the next evolution of that. It's, this shoe factory that pivots and starts making like drag queen boots for the drag queens.
Mm.
Busted Dreams, a factory down on their luck, trying to come up with the next big super bra, the next great, and they have to compete with Victoria's Secret. They have to compete with Maidenform, but they are not giving up. This mm-hmm. is more like Kinky Boobs. They're not giving up on this dream.
Well, what if we take it a step further, which is the bra company is an old-timey Amish bra company. They made bras for the Amish their entire career. They have the young girl who's fled the community and gone out, and of course they're having difficulty keeping this 150-year family business afloat, and she has to come back and convince them that they have to make the frilly stuff and the sexy stuff and the bedazzled stuff.
Yes. And do you know why she knows about that stuff?
Hmm.
She was on her Rumspringa.
That's right.
Yeah, it went on forever.
Yeah. That's right.
That she went on for her Rumspringa. That's where you get to go and be wild and be crazy. Be
stint,
you know,
at
part
a strip
of
club?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's right.
And that's where she found out it doesn't all have to be, you know, zipperless or however they do it in, you know, the Amish country. And that's where she comes back and marries these two cultures for a bra juggernaut factory.
I mean, they do have two things going for them, handmade and American made for, right. for their right. bras. Yeah.
Now, should we have Emma Stone be the young gal?
This is great.
Yes.
I think that there has to be somebody out there that kind of takes her under her wing. I don't think Kim Cattrall is working right now.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So that
she's looking
nice
for
choice.
A gig.
Yeah.
I'm told Emma Stone is pregnant and can't work right now.
Oh,
yeah, sorry.
We'll have to push production.
Do you buy Kim Cattrall as Amish?
Kim Cattrall. No.
Out in the world.
I see.
Okay. Kim Cattrall plays the Manhattan recently fired from Victoria's Secret for a scandal.
Who's got to turn her life around.
Who's got to turn it around, shows up to the Amish factory. At first, she's laughing at all these guys and their wagons and their hand tools and everything. But eventually finds love and realizes the ways of a simpler life, like Nate and the wagon train and the gopher hunting. She comes in there like Ava Gabor from Green Acres, you know.
Yeah.
She's wearing all the furs and the high heels. And, of course, there's the fish out of water when she walks into the factory and all the old Amish guys are looking at her.
Yep.
You know.
Crocodile Dundee.
And then there's the handsome guy that's building the barn who's the quiet, strong carpenter guy that she falls for.
Well, I'm gonna go with Liam Neeson on that one.
Ooh, oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yes, he's the widower. He's the widower.
Kind of quiet, but, you know, heart of gold.
What's the Harrison Ford movie where he had to protect
Amish? The Witness.
Yeah, Witness.
Yeah, Witness.
Amish.
Witness. Amish Witness.
Amish Witness.
So Liam, his wife of 31 years was crushed in a barn raising.
Barn raising.
Oh, boy.
And he blames himself. You
she
know
was
what I mean?
Right. Like fresh baked rolls. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For the workers.
And he summoned her to bring the rolls when the rope snapped.
And the truss.
And it gave way and crushed her. And he swore he'd never raise another barn.
Right.
You know?
Sure,
and
sure.
Kim, you know, obviously there's a montage, but at some point she convinces him to go out and raise that barn.
Honey, you've got to do this again.
Nate, do your Liam Neeson.
I've got a particular set of skills.
Got a particular set of skills, and I'm coming after you.
Yeah, ooh. All right.
And they put a little plaque with the dead wife's name on it.
Yes, on the barn. So we turn the Amish bra factory around.
Yeah.
And we raise the barn. Kim Cattrall finds a simpler life.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe
I'd watch the shit out of this.
I would watch this too. All right. Let's let me talk to our caller. Hey, Brent.
Sure.
What do you think?
You know, it's a Disney Plus original, and I'm already going to subscribe.
Thank you, my brother. All right. Let's go to line two. Andrew, 50, Vegas.
That's right.
Hi, guys. That's right. What do you got?
I'm looking at Room for Cream.
Oh,
I'm thinking
cream
on this one. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of remember that Tom Hanks, what's her name movie where she had the bookstore and he owned the book big thing. You know, was that Got Mail?
Yeah,
is that that
it
one?
Was based on the shop around the corner.
Right. So Jennifer Aniston runs the little boutique coffee shop where she knows all the names of the, you know, part of
the orders.
Yeah. And Hanks runs the big Starbucks. You know, he's the guy who's got the thing. And they're the last ma and pa place sort of on the corner left in town. And he wants to come in there and, take them over and run them over. We have a pivotal scene where he comes in to observe. You know, he just comes in to observe. Yeah. We played the observe music when he's sitting there pretending to read a magazine, you know, that kind of quirky observe music. And then at some point, he goes up there because he's a Starbucks guy, right? He goes, I'm curious. You don't write the names on any of the cups. And she says, I know everyone's name.
Don't need to.
Yeah, and he learns something. He gets something from that.
He's an executive from corporate, and his job is to his expansion. Right, he sets up and the new franchises, and so he does everything by the book.
Yeah, and he's a widower because his wife died when a Frappuccino machine blew up. Okay, and he blames himself.
That's fair.
And yeah.
Is it a Frappuccino machine or espresso?
She was coming.
It's either one. Nate, don't pops. Come on now. Yes, okay. Anne.
Got it.
Yes, Anne. And he was known. He was known for doing a perfect heart in the latte.
Oh. Yeah, that was his thing.
But ever since his wife died, his hand would start shaking like the captain on that ship. What was that? In Saving Private Ryan.
That's right.
Remember Saving Private Ryan? His hand would start shaking?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he could no longer make it. Just came out like a swastika. It was like, ugh. It was a mess. It would always come out like a frowny face. Yeah. You know what I mean? And he used to be
a broken heart.
Yeah, broken heart. Like, he used to be the best heart foam guy. In Seattle, and now this, you know, ever since. And obviously, once he finds love, we see the steady hand come back and the perfect, that's the end, the perfect heart. We see it. We see the hand. We see the perfect heart. We do a little switcheroo where you think it's one of the employees, and we pan back and we see it's him.
And
that's how we know.
That's how you know that he's come full circle.
He's back.
And he's found love.
Yep. He's found love. But what happens
pitch for
in
the
between?
Tagline. Oh.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
It's not great, but could get the ball rolling on taglines. Live happily ever hereafter.
This is why they don't like ladies in the writer's room, Gina.
Fucking diversity.
Wow.
Should dad own this lot?
I'll go back to the drawing board. I'll keep working on that.
Please.
Stupid Cindy Paramount. Get out of here.
Next time, stay there. all right. But how does let's just make it Hanks now. Let's just go with Hanks and Anderson. How does Hanks, you know, how does he come around? Like, when does he, like, does he show up?
What's the turning point?
He's maybe at one of, like, she is, you know, he goes with her to a farmer's market where she only gets locally sourced beans,
artisanal.
And she's watching her go through it and everything. And that next day he has to go to a corporate, meeting. And they're like, sir, we can't get the beans out of Sumatra anymore because a warlord. Well, then pay him off, you know, but the warlord is killing the villagers. I don't care how much it costs. And
they
then
don't drink my coffee.
He gets a bad taste in his mouth.
Now, isn't there from a plot perspective, isn't there a line in the sand where he's supposed to take over her coffee shop and he just decides that I have to, this is the line for him and that's where it's drawn and that's where he turns a corner.
Yeah. Well, go
he's
ahead.
He's haunted by the death of his wife. They always wanted to open up their own coffee shop. They never got it. Kind of like Up at the beginning of Up. They always wanted to do this, but life got in the way. They never got around to it. And now he's found someone new in his life. He's like, yes, this is what I was meant to do.
He's never got to pour that perfect heart in his own coffee shop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Wake up and smell the romance. That's what's at the bottom.
There you go. That's on the poster.
So just the worst shirt, crafters off the table.
Yeah.
We'll focus group it.
Keep the crafter to yourself.
All right. Let's do one last one.
Line three, if we can do that.
Line three. Here we go. Matt, 44, Philadelphia.
Yeah, Ace Man. Get it on.
Get it on, man. What's going on?
Yeah. Not much. Yeah, I just thought I'd say real quick first that I really appreciate the improv breakouts that you guys have.
Okay.
The one I thought was the best was the stroker guy walking through the airport. That was great.
What guy walking through the airport?
I never remember. I'm sure it was great. I never remember these.
What was it?
The guy that was caught with the Zoom meeting.
Oh,
Tubin.
Yeah.
Oh, Tubin. Oh, Tubin
stroker
having
guy.
The stroker guy. Yeah. He had to explain why he was thrown off of the television. Yes. Okay. Noted. Go ahead, David. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Matt. Matt, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, good. My movie title is Ace in the Hole.
Brian?
Well, Major Nate Adams is an enthusiastic poker player, so I'd like to involve him in the creative process. I was... Nate, you've seen plenty of poker movies. You know, the young upstart starts off hot, then they lose it all, then they come back and learn, you know, a life lesson or something.
Yes.
It's the formula of every poker movie. Twist, female poker player.
Okay.
And she's kind of like a tomboy, you know what I mean? I'm thinking like a Jennifer Lawrence type, like raised by maybe a single dad, taught her how to play poker. She's a bit of a fish out of water in that world.
And she goes by Ace so people don't prejudge her.
Yes.
So they don't know her name in advance.
Or she could even play online where they can't see her. And everyone wonders who she is, who this person is, because they've never met
Who's
them
Ace?
In person.
Right.
Because they're a huge, they kick ass and win millions of dollars online. But she has to go to a poker tournament that she has to play in person.
In person.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one more little tick of backstory.
Please.
She grew up in a very abusive household and has the ability to recognize she has the ability to read people instantaneously.
Mm.
Like almost the moment that they change behavior, she can read them.
But
she gets she can anticipate it.
There's a footloose element to it, which is her dad is deeply religious, and she's been playing under the pseudonym online.
Yes.
But when they do the national televised poker championship in Reno, they're going to know. He's going to see, everyone from the community is going to see that the daughter is a gambler. Nate loves gambling and poker so much that when we went to England and we stayed at an Airbnb for 3 or 4 days, he found a poker game in town.
Wow.
In Europe.
At a dive bar.
At a dive bar. So,
sounds,
you know,
awesome.
But, you know, in terms of having a creative partner and a financial partner, you want addicted to gambling. That's one of the...
That's rule one, page one.
Rule, I don't care about your production skills, bucko. Let's talk about your gambling addiction.
How much trouble has gambling caused in your life? I do only play poker and I don't gamble, though. Just so
What do you mean you don't gamble?
I don't.
Only gamble.
I don't play slot machines.
Yeah.
I don't play.
Well, I only drink vodka.
Hey,
drink a handle a night.
That's good.
So no problemo?
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Remember when I came in and showed you the 10 grand that I won at that tournament?
Yeah.
And you were like, wow. That's the first time you ever looked at me like, hey, that wasn't a stupid thing you did.
Did you win in the European?
I missed the after-work poker games.
Yes.
No, it was a poker tournament here. I won like 22 grand.
Nice.
But they gave me 10 grand after we won one day, and I brought it in to show you because I had to leave work early. So I was like, Adam, this is why I left work early.
Yeah.
And you were like, okay, I'll let you pass on that one.
Adam, I've played poker with Nate, and he calls my cards out. Like,
oh, really?
He's one of those
guys.
But
to be fair to him, you do hold them facing the wrong way a lot.
I like the design.
Chris is pretty slow.
Memorized by the design. Oh, what a tapestry.
He didn't realize it was an Indian poker.
All right. So she's got to go now. She's got to. But does she have to go in disguise? Does she have to go as a man? Or
the big reveal.
Is there some sort of Cyrano de Bergerac type situation where there's like the old timer guy who's the maintenance man in her building and he's going to get hurt. He's going to, you know, and she's going to put the earpiece in and call it from the audience.
Ooh. What was that horrible 80s movie about the girl who played football?
She's All That or Just One of the Guys.
Just One of the Guys, I think. That was the one I was thinking.
That movie's amazing. What do you mean horrible?
All right, so who's the girl? Who do we have in here?
Jennifer Lawrence.
I propose.
Yeah, Jennifer Lawrence.
Great.
Yeah.
And I mean, it all comes down to like, I like the disguise aspect of where like.
Her in a disguise.
And then to put her under pressure when she makes it to the final table, they bring her dad out there. So that he sees her.
It was subterfuge.
No, you know? One of the guys who wears the sunglasses brings the dad out because he
to
knows
blow her off her game because he can't beat her straight up.
Right. We need that guy. Why don't we have who's it? Ken Jeong? Who'd be?
I was gonna say
the
top.
No,
Jimmy O Yang would be great too.
It's the evil poker guy.
Yes.
I think it'd be fun to have
exactly.
Dr. Ken Jeong do that one. Right? It's got the sunglasses and the ear things on, and he finds out, and he's gonna bring the dad in and fuck her game up.
Oh yeah.
Mm.
Speaking of dads, who's the? He's in everything. I don't know why I'm just picking this one, but in American Beauty, Chris
Cooper.
Oh, Chris Cooper.
Chris Cooper, the dad, the abusive dad.
Mm.
He'd be good for Jennifer Lawrence too.
Yeah.
He looks
similar. We need a hot shot, kind of young Val Kilmer type to be the hot shot odds on favored at the table, the misogynist, like the good looking blonde guy, the Iceman guy.
Yeah.
Need that guy.
Could be Chris Hemsworth. Could be
any Hemsworth.
Yeah, any of the Hemsworth. Yeah, get them to play the heavy in that. All right. Hold on. Let me just check with Matt. Matt, ace in the hole. You like it?
Yeah, that was great. That was better than I expected. Thanks, guys.
I know. Some of the shit's okay. All right. Let's see. Let me hit a spot. Well, let me give a plug. I had the wrong stupid thing on my paper thing.
Both work, but this is an updated one.
Microventures.com/Adam is where you can go. And again, it's not just get a T-shirt. It's actually invest in these films. We got when we went mad about Mad TV and Mad Magazine. And then, of course, Meme Gods as well. Both very good because I said so. Because we did it. Because Nate does it. All right. Let's see. Let me hit. All right. We will talk to Major Williams, not Major Nate Adams, about he's a pretty interesting guy. He's going to be running for governor of California. We'll talk to him right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.